The last word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Melbourne is in lockdown again as they deal with a second wave of the coronavirus. Victoria's recorded more than 12,000 of almost 19,000 total COVID-19 cases across Australia, as well as 147 fatalities of the country's total of 232. Hundreds of people confirmed to have COVID-19 in Australia's worst hit state have been caught flouting stay-at-home orders. That's according to authorities, prompting tougher fines. To discuss this, I'm joined on the line now by Brianna Parkins, a reporter and broadcaster with Virgin Media Television. Brianna, I know we touched on this on the show on Friday, but a lot has obviously happened since then. You might remind us how strict this lockdown in Melbourne has become.
Well, Australians definitely don't do things by halves. And we say it is strict, but really it's where Ireland was back in April. Australia never really had the strict lockdown conditions that Ireland has. And still even, in this stage for lockdown, they can still visit intimate partners. They can still do things that, we couldn't do, but they have enacted a curfew. So you cannot leave your house unless for caregiving reasons or a medical emergency or for work between the hours of 8 p.m. and 5 a.m. So it's a little bit stricter in that regard. And of course, you have police enforceable and ADF, Defence Force enforceable lockdown. So if you're awaiting a test or you've been told to self-isolate, they will now come to your door and check. And if you are not where you should be or you're caught flouting the law, you will be fined $5,000 on the spot. Five grand Australian, about €3,000.
But it hasn't seemed to put people off flouting those rules. You know, you look at 800 infected people. You speak about authorities knocking on doors. They did that for 800 people who weren't there and couldn't be found.
And that's why they've ramped this up now. So there is a small group going around called Sovereign Citizens. We've seen them in America. They're sort of burgeoning here in Ireland. Now, normally they use kind of these pseudo-legal arguments to get out of paying innocuous things like parking fines and local council fines. But what they're doing is they're saying that these laws are impinging their human rights and they're challenging people in shops, they're challenging police officers. And the police have just turned around and started arresting them and having quite a bit of a hard crackdown, because you have to remember also there's been a state of disaster declared. So we bumped up from state of emergency to state of disaster, which means a lot of civil liberties are legally suspended. So they don't have a leg to stand on, unfortunately, and they are getting arrested and they are facing huge fines, up to $20,000.
But a lot of them, this group that you talk about, these sovereign citizens, are simply refusing to abide by the restrictions that are being put in place, to the point where even where they're stopped by police in their cars, police are having to break windows to get them out of the car to ask them simple questions about where they're going and what the purpose of their journey is.
Yeah, there's this mistaken belief that if you're not arrested, that you're able to walk away from a police officer. You actually have to legally give your name and address when spoken to by a police officer. So they're getting them on that law. There was this famous viral video going around of a young woman laughing in the face of a police officer when she refused to say which border she was coming from. This is before the borders became locked down. Now they're completely sealed off in some states. And they actually found her later on and arrested her.
Wow. Another case, you may correct me if I'm wrong, but another case, a woman was seen to assault a police officer who was just carrying out their duties under the guidelines and the regulations that were put in place.
That's correct. A 38-year-old woman allegedly assaulted a police officer by smashing the 26-year-old constable's head repeatedly into the concrete until she was concussed, just because two officers had asked her. They'd approached her in a hardware store called Bunnings in Frankston and basically said, "Why aren't you wearing a mask? You need to leave." The woman responded allegedly by smacking her head into concrete again and again. Wow. She's been arrested and it's quite serious. I think you have to sort of understand that Australians, I know that having police presence and defence force and the army roaming the streets might seem very heavy-handed, but you have to remember a state of disaster was declared only back in January because of the huge bushfires. These happen when natural disasters strike, which is quite a common occurrence in Australia. So there is a respect that this suspension of civil liberties is fine. We have to get on with it. Everything's going to be okay.
And what about, and I know we briefly touched on this on Friday, people who are having to self-isolate for 2 weeks and they put them up in these hotels, and rumours that security guards are allowing them to go out and get groceries and that they're also actually sleeping with these people, having sex with people that are self-isolating with suspected coronavirus.
I mean, sure, what else are you going to do when you're locked in a hotel room? But there was quite a sort of a heavy response. So Australians don't really respond. I know you have the green, we have the green list here in Ireland, and there's lots of like, you should do this and you should do that. That doesn't exist in Australia. There is very hardline laws and there are consequences, and this happens. So when you arrive from the airport, the police or the member of the Australian Defence Forces would pick you up from the airport, take you to a hotel. It still happens. You're not allowed out of the hotel. Now, what had happened was a private, so it was police initially in the beginning, but then I think they transferred that over to a private security firm. They outsourced it, and sort of security guards who were didn't have that much training and weren't getting paid that much were, of course, allegedly letting people out and allegedly having intimate relationships with them.
Absolutely incredible. Finally, then, this is a discussion that we've been having for weeks and months on the show and elsewhere in relation to face masks. Coverings are now mandatory in these states that are, you know, heavily infected.
That is correct. It is. They are mandatory in Victoria and I believe in certain parts of New South Wales.
And this is all, in all scenarios. It's not just public transport and enclosed spaces. This is, it's a pretty strict rule.
From what I understand, yeah, in certain areas, it's not widespread. And I think the only thing that's kind of in, I mean, on the side of this late outbreak, I mean, Australia had zero cases back in May. So this is a huge blow. The only kind of advantage they have, say, compared to Ireland a couple of months ago, is that they're able to do mass testing. They have enough kits and they have the testing facilities to be able to test everyone regardless of symptoms. I know early in the outbreak, myself, I had to get tested. And originally, I only had 4 out of 5 symptoms or whatever it was. And it took me a long time, it took me 2 weeks to get a test back. Whereas they're able to just test mass suburbs. So I think they tested nearly 2,000 people because two women who were infected were in the suburb. They're just able to mass test them very quickly and test results come back within 12 hours. So they may just have the advantage of sort of a later outbreak because there's more available tests and the contact tracing is fairly good. Now, there's a strain of 600 cases which they can't trace back to anyone, but they seem to be able to know who's had it and who should be tested.
Okay, Brianna Parkins, a broadcaster with Virgin Media Television. Thank you very much for that.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.